This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Tuesday, November the 19th of 2024. Overcast, wet, dreary conditions in downtown Wausau. From our 98.9 WXCO studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, some light rain. It's a mild temperature right now. It's not going to stay this way, but it's mild right now to start off our Tuesday, 55 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up this morning, we're going to talk about the budget. The city of Wausau has passed its budget for the next year. Talk a little bit about that, some of the main takeaways from the city budget. Also coming up, we will be joined by Todd Alba. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show that you can hear every weekday right here on 98.9 WXCO and on the Civic Media Radio Network from noon until 2 p.m. Todd Alba will be with us at 8:34 this morning. And then on the start of hour number two, or at the start of hour number two, if I get my English correct, at 9:06, we'll be talking to Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library. So that's all on tap. We'll have our daily history lesson. We'll have our number for the day quiz at the end. So another full activity, full day of activity here on the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. I tell you, Tuesdays, I always spend the final segment of the previous show, Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. I go on and talk to Pat and to Greg Bach, but it throws me off. It's like I feel like I'm rushing around, then I get on the air, then I have to get ready to come on the air here, and it's like I get thrown into a bit of a discombobulated feel, but we're going to get back on the horse and move on again. It's just been a wet overnight. Last night I was laying in bed. I could hear the rain coming down. At times very, very hard. It started last evening, went through the overnight hours. We're still getting some rain and dark activity here this morning. And it should come to an end a little bit later on in the morning, but then it's going to get chilly for the next few days. So we'll have all the details when we look at the weather coming up at 8:21 as well. But before we go any further, I need to say hello and good morning to our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Quite the change in weather from yesterday. I mean, yesterday it was nice and sunny with clear skies, and today it's the total opposite.
It was beautiful yesterday morning when we started off the work week, so obviously very, very different, but it is that time of year. In fact, I want to remind folks that tonight we start off our coverage of high school winter sports. Yes, it's not winter yet, but the winter sports season starts with girls high school basketball, our first winter broadcast. And again, this winter we'll be covering girls and boys basketball, girls and boys hockey, with Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon. And we'll start things off tonight. I'll be hitting the road, traveling to Loyal as the Marathon High School girls basketball team takes on Loyal. Coverage will begin with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. That's tonight, Marathon girls basketball, right here on 98.9 WXCO. Mm-hmm. And before I guess we go any further, anything that on your mind, anything that sort of jumped into your frame of reference, anything that's happening with your life, to before we delve into some, I think some different issues, and again, talk a little budget for the city of Wausau, but anything on your mind before we move any further?
Well, as I mentioned yesterday, it was my dad's birthday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
He did have a great birthday. He had nothing too fancy, just a simple, you know, get together with the family. I was done at the radio station. We went over to Denny's and had a nice brunch as a family. I gave him my birthday present I got him. And then later in the evening, after I got home from rehearsal, my mom, she made these special birthday brownies for my dad.
Very nice.
A little bit easier than making a cake. But the brownies were absolutely delicious. And overall, I think my dad had a nice, relaxing birthday.
Very good. No, it's always great to celebrate and to, you know, especially have your family around and to be able to do that. So that is terrific. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch a little bit on the City of Wausau budget. And the budget process always occurs, you know, in this time of year. And the Wausau Common Council has approved the annual budget overwhelmingly 8-1 vote, and you can get some really good information. And one of the things that's I think we hear a lot of criticism of what we used to have in terms of local media news coverage and what we have today, but it's not the same as it used to be. Obviously, newspapers have cut staffing, and it's a very different media landscape than it was when, say, I was growing up. But if you still go to the Wausau Daily Herald, and Eric Vance covers local government here for the Herald, he has a write-up this morning at wausaudailyherald.com, and I would suggest that you check it out. And again, I would suggest as well you support local journalism, and because the only way that there can be further coverage of some different issues, especially these important issues like the budget for our community, is to support local journalism. So again, Eric Vance has a nice write-up at wausaudailyherald.com. But there was a lot of talk. I mean, the mayor had proposed across-the-board cuts, talked about the need to try to make sure that any budget increases were offset with other areas. But in the end, it did not turn out to be what you'd call a revolutionary budget. But from what council members are saying, and especially the chair of the Finance Committee, Michael Martin, says that apparently it's a budget that does work for the council. So bottom line is the final increase on the budget of 2.47%, it did remain just below Mayor Doug Denny's intended increase limit of 2.5%, according to the story at wausaudailyherald.com. The smallest increase in the city's levy in the past 10 years. Martins is quoted in the story as, quote, "I'm happy with this budget, with the amount of work we put into it, and I think we as a body, we should be proud of this budget. It's definitely a good thing." And then there's some information that is, again, I would encourage you to go check it out at wausaudailyherald.com. Some of the, I think the headline numbers, the owner of a home that's worth just over $200,000 will pay roughly $1,750 in property taxes for city services next year. According to the story as well, the public event safety charge is being put in. Increases related to personnel and operations account for most of the additions to city spending. An additional revenue stream that was put in to the budget is a public event safety charge for ticketed events. Some of the details still have to be worked out in committee over the next number of months, but according to Eric Vance's story, it's expected to be implemented as a $1 additional charge on large events that sell tickets and utilize the city's police department to manage the safety and security of the event. This additional dollar is expected to raise about $70,000 per year. the city does have wage increases for its workers. A 3.5% increase expected for police, fire, and transit workers, though negotiations with the unions are ongoing. Also, a 3% cost of living increase was given to non-union workers to help maintain parity between the positions. Interesting that among the reductions in the budget, health insurance costs in the months leading up to the final work on the budget, city staff are anticipating a significant increase to employee health insurance costs with a budget impact of roughly $500,000. The city instead was able to find a new provider that locked in an only 2% increase in health insurance costs for the upcoming year and a 9% increase for the year after. So again, right now, whether you're Wausau, whether you're any other municipality around the state of Wisconsin, it is not easy to try to put all the numbers together. So after some, I would call, friction between the mayor and the city council, you see that they were able to come through with a budget that did get 8 out of 9 votes. The only person that did not vote for the budget is the District 3 alderperson, Terry Killian, the sole no vote on the budget. So, Tom Killian, the former District 3 alderperson, spoke during the budget hearing portion of last week's Common Council meeting and criticized economic development expenditures contained in the budget. So obviously a little bit of pushback, but in the end, an 8-to-1 vote, and the city of Wausau does pass its budget for 2025.
Honestly, it's just a lot of numbers I don't really understand.
I know, and that's a thing. And that
I'm not a math person.
But the thing about it that I think we need to appreciate as well, that anybody that does run for office and is running for office, whether at the county level or the city level or the school board level, so often when we've had folks who are members of these respective boards, they'll come in and they'll have a binder full of information. They have to go through a lot of different information. There is a lot that has to go into it. And that's why, again, expertise, intelligence is important. It's not just about buzzwords. It's not just about, you know, trying to stir the pot. I mean, the best representatives, whether at the federal level, the state level, or the local level, are the ones that understand the challenges that are faced by the either the communities or the states or the country that they're serving, and are able to be smart about it and not try to score political points. So, again, I mean, there's going to be things that I disagree with, I'm sure, within the specifics. But at the same time, I think at this point it's good to give a little bit of a tip of the cap to those who have worked hard to be able to pass a budget in the city of Wausau. The time is 8:18. Again, it's a wet start here in north central Wisconsin. We're going to talk a little bit about the weather and, of course, Todd Alba coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
On Thursday night, it's the season opener for the Newman Catholic High School girls basketball team. The Cardinals will play host to Assumption. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. Newman Catholic High School basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, and Sun Printing. It's Newman Catholic playing host to Assumption in the season opener for high school girls basketball. Thursday, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, also for your Alexa. Just say, Alexa, search WXCO. It is 8:23 here on this Tuesday morning. Again, Todd Alba will be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library will be with us coming up at 9:06 this morning. Somebody that will not be with us this morning and early part of this week is our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany taking some time off. I think after the election, a lot of us have been taking a little bit of time off. I know Pat Kreitlow was off last week. I was off last week. Brittany is off early this week. But she'll be back with us, I think, later in the week. She's down in Florida enjoying some time away. And, again, much deserved, because not only does Brittany Merlot do the weather forecast for us, joining us every day, you also hear her throughout the course of the day during our news reports. She is somebody that covers the news and the weather, keeps very, very busy. We appreciate that. So, again, Brittany will be back with us coming up, I think, Thursday. Is that the thought process?
Thursday. Some of us just need to get away from the drama in Washington. I mean, honestly, I feel like this is just turning into a daytime soap opera. Just it's like all these dramatic moments as we go into commercial.
I know, exactly.
It's like, dun, dun, dun.
What's going to happen next?
At least it keeps us on the edge of our seats.
Well, I think some people enjoy that. I, for one, not a big fan of that one.
But I draw my point when it comes to theater.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the weather. Again, we have got plenty of rain since last night. It was a drencher here in north central Wisconsin. Started last evening, continued throughout the overnights, continued here early this morning as well. But we expect this rain to come to an end sometime around lunchtime. So today, a chance of rain before noon, a slight chance of showers. Then before 1 p.m., some patchy fog early if you're hitting the road. Otherwise, cloudy. Temperatures are going to fall. We started at 55 degrees, but we expect that temperature to fall to around 48 by 5 p.m. this afternoon. And we will get a bit of a wind chill, because we'll have east-southeast winds, 14 to 16 miles per hour, becoming west-southwest in the afternoon. Those winds could gust up as high as 28 miles per hour. And if you're like me, heading out on the road tonight, I'm heading off to Loyal for that Marathon Girls basketball broadcast. Make sure you're prepared, because it's going to be chilly tonight. Tonight, cloudy, becoming partly cloudy, a low dipping to 33. Again, those wind gusts as high as 23 miles per hour. And then chilly for the rest of the work week. Tomorrow, partly sunny. There is a 30% chance of snow showers in the afternoon in a high near 41 degrees. And again, those gusty winds will make the wind chill factor something you're going to feel. West winds, 8 to 14 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25 miles per hour. And then Thursday, a chance of rain and snow before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, and a high of 42 degrees on Thursday. And then Friday, mostly cloudy and 41. And even as you look at towards the weekend, if you're one of those season ticket holders for the Packers who gets to go to Lambeau Field, the Packers home again on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers, a 3:25 kickoff Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high near 39. But the good news is, unlike the game they played against Detroit a couple of weeks back where it was raining the entire time, at least it looks like it will be dry for the Packers and the Niners on Sunday. In fact, the Packers, they play a couple of home games in a very short time frame. They play at home against the 49ers on Sunday, and then the Packers will have a Thanksgiving night game next week. The Packers will be taking on the Miami Dolphins under the lights at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 28th at 7:20 for the kickoff. So
that should be an exciting game.
Yeah, I think so the next 2 weeks, back-to-back home games, Sunday and Thursday for the Pack, before they head off to Detroit for a showdown in the NFC North after that. So, again, it should be a... It's hard to believe when you think about it. Again, I hate saying it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but it is. It's hard to believe how quickly this year has gone on by. We are now finally post-election. We are now heading towards Thanksgiving. We're heading towards the Christmas holiday in 2025. And sometimes I just think about it, because you're not as old as I am. I think back about the 1970s and the 1980s and the 1990s, and it's like, that's such a long time ago, and yet it feels like yesterday. And I shake my head constantly.
It does.
Time, as you get older, you're going to realize this. And I think folks out there that are up around my age, in the, getting closer to the mid-50s,
because you start to realize how quickly time goes by. Every day goes by so quickly. Every week goes by so quickly. Every month goes by so quickly. And every year goes by so quickly. So, again, we are heading towards, again, hopefully, despite everything that's happened 2 weeks ago, everything in terms of the election.
Try to find a positive.
And we're going to be able now to celebrate Thanksgiving, celebrate Christmas, celebrate the New Year. Yeah. And then, you know, everything will be there when you get to 2025. But let's try to have the bright side of things at least for a little bit.
Yeah. And that Monty Python song is, always look on the bright side of life. That's one of my favorite songs to sing. It's so true. Even when things go bad, there's always a positive to be found somewhere.
Look on the bright side of life. That's exactly right. Song. My bright side is we still got 2 months and 1 day of President Joe Biden. That's my bright side right now.
Absolutely.
The time is 8:28. Coming up, we have an information update. We'll get you up to speed on what's going on nationally, internationally, around the state of Wisconsin and here in central Wisconsin as well. And then we're scheduled after that to be joined by Todd Alba, the host of the Todd Alba Show, coming up in just a few minutes. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It started actually to brighten up just a little bit after the dreariness of our start, looking out to the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street here in downtown Wausau. Again, it's still overcast, a little bit of light rain falling, but again, looking for the silver linings. That's what we're trying to do here after taking a little time off and back in the saddle again. And somebody that's been very busy the last couple of weeks, in fact, while folks like myself and Pat Kreitlow have been taking time off, this man has been doubling up in terms of what he's been trying to accomplish here at Civic Media, the host of the Todd Alba Show, heard every weekday from noon until 2 p.m. here on 98.9 WXCO and on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to hope that the sound quality is working as we say good morning to Todd Alba. Todd, are we able to give it a shot? I think we're still having some issues with Todd Alba. Todd, can you hear me? Oh, I'm going to check out our messages here. Oh, he's trying to log in on his phone. So, again, we're having a little issue here trying to connect with Todd Alba, who, again, joins us every weekday from Madison to be with us. And if we can't get connected here on our computer, I'm going to send Todd our number just in case he wants to try to do that as well. So, again, the world of technology, always so much fun, so much excitement. So send it to Todd if he wants to give us a ring here and join us the old-fashioned way here in the audio world of radio. But, Todd Alba, every weekday from noon until 2. In fact, he was here in central Wisconsin a few weeks back. He went around the state on his What Makes Wisconsin Great tour, and he was in the Stevens Point in Wisconsin Rapids area, went down there and actually saw him at an event in Stevens Point a couple of weeks ago. But I think Todd is going to try to hook in yet again here. We'll see if this works better. Ian, can you put Todd up on our main screen here?
Yep.
There we go. See. Todd, can you hear me?
Now can you hear me, Chad?
I can hear you. Oh, man, is this wonderful, oh, this goodness, time of the day? I get you up early to come on the air?
No. I guest hosted Kreitlow's show a couple weeks ago. And here's the thing, Chad. I'm going to tell you, some of your people, your audience may listen to our program, but you're fine audience. Technology hates me. That's just the bottom line. And I did something in a prior life to be negative towards technology. But the important thing, I'm here with you and your great show and your great listeners. And I've said it once, I'll say it again, I'll say it 1,000 times. You and Phil Nee at WRCL Richland Center are the two hardest working people in civic media, because you do your great shows in the morning, you work all day, and then you go out and provide the great local coverage of high school sports throughout the year. So thanks for all you do, Chad.
Hey, started up another winter sports season tonight, in fact, hitting the road to Loyal. Do your What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. I get a chance to see all these towns during the course of the winter months between basketball and hockey. And tonight we're starting with Loyal, as the Marathon girls will play over there. But looking forward to that. And I got to say, I'm really looking forward to that, because by going out there, staying busy, it makes me get my mind off everything else that's going on in the last 2 weeks, because it feels like it's been more than 2 weeks since Election Day. I tried to kind of take away from it last week, but I guess I want to just give you kind of what have you been talking about? What did you talk about last week? What's the main piece of information, or maybe I hate using the word tone, but what is the tone that you've been trying to set in the 2 weeks since what was, I would say, for us that love democracy, was not the result that we were looking for?
I think that's a great way to ask her to put it, right? I think there is an issue or how we go about it and put the tone out there. I've been trying to offer at least a bit of calm and comfort, not saying that I'm okay with the results for me personally. I'm not sure how many, if you watch Joe Scarborough and Morning Joe on MSNBC, right. And he and his wife and broadcast partner Mika went down to Florida over the weekend and basically bent the knee to Donald Trump and said, hey, we want to get along now. Which, you know, I said on our show that I want to listen to people who voted for Donald Trump and try to understand why, but I really don't have any interest in talking to Donald Trump himself. So I think it's that balance, right, of saying, hey, let's all just take a breath and take one day at a time. Don't try to think of everything that could happen all at once, because A, we can't do a whole lot about it right now at this point, and B, we'll drive ourselves crazy. So I think that doing exactly what you do with your audience every day, looking at internally, you know, I heard the first part of the program, issues happening in Wausau, Marathon County. These are things that local people do have a direct effect on. Show up at your city council meetings, show up at your county board meetings, show up at your school board meetings, and you can actually do something locally. So I think the more we focus right now on active activities in our local communities, I think that's really valuable. I think being grounded, I've reached out over the phone and in person and just sat down and talked to friends and family, you know, put down the cell phones, quite frankly, turn off the TVs and at least for a couple of minutes the radio, and just connect with the people that you really care about. So I think that's important. And then kind of regather ourselves. And we had Reed Galen, president of the union, a spinoff from the Lincoln Project, a pro-democracy group. And I think he really hit it on the head yesterday. Rather than saying, oh, I'm going to be part of a resistance or whatever, I mean, how do you really define that these days? Reed said, let's just get to work. You know, let's just get to work. And part of that is pausing, reflecting, and listening to voters in our areas that we may disagree with to find out why. And then moving forward, how do we listen and communicate with each other and talk to one another to understand our friends and neighbors and our communities better?
I do appreciate what you have been trying to accomplish. And I will say, to be honest with you, I was driving last Monday. I was driving down to the Chicago area as I was taking some time off. And I was listening to your show, and I was listening to Jane's show, and frankly, against my better judgment, because I was thinking I should get away from all this, but I'm driving down there for 3.5 hours. I'm listening to all that. And I will say that there were a couple of things that you and your guests were saying that, frankly, I disagreed with. But that's not the point. The point is, I think, having the perspectives. And it made me think. It actually helped me, because, to be honest with you, I think I've had a hard time getting past 2 weeks ago. I really have. It's been very difficult. And I think, and I'm trying to use that with the listeners as well. But at the same time, putting, you know, screaming into the void is not going to help either. I mean, we have to be able to, I think, to have discussions and to be able to speak about maybe the fears and the hopes. And one thing that I also appreciated what I've heard is that we don't have all the answers. I think there's way too much Monday morning quarterbacking right now, because, frankly, there is so much that we don't know about why what happened. We don't know, again, I think a lot of the underlining factors that, as you said, why did people vote for Donald Trump? Because when I think about myself, I want to pull my hair out. It's like, why did you vote for Donald Trump? But I think it's okay to say that we don't have all the answers right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's one of the cool things about working for Civic Media, is we don't all think the same way, those of us who host shows, and that's okay. That's healthy, because it can be a boring world if we all said, oh, I agree with you on everything 100% of the time.
Then we'd be right-wing radio.
Exactly.
We don't get the talking points here on Civic Media. You don't get the same talking points that I get, which is great, I think. You're right.
But I think, you know, again, listening to our friends and neighbors, understanding that by and large, I would say the majority of people that voted for Donald Trump are not terrible, racist, misogynistic, awful people. I think one of the things that I came away with, and I've really tried to use these 2 weeks to take my personal bias and emotion out, and as Ted Lasso says, be curious, not judgmental. And let me hasten to add, that doesn't mean compromising principles that I believe in, but it just means I can just take a moment and say, let me just be curious about people who disagree with me for a second and understand why. And I came away with a couple of things. A, legacy media, meaning the big network news, CBS, NBC, ABC, and those types of things are even less affecting the population less than I thought. And it's podcasting, it's streaming services, it's Joe Rogan, it's Barstool Sports. You know, people are really siloed even more than I thought they were in listening to only what they want to hear. And number two, this is not an answer, but it's just kind of, I'm talking out loud. Therapy with Chad Holmes, right?
Bills on the mail.
maybe there was a kind of a tectonic shift in the electorate in things that they really care about. I mean, some folks can look at all the things that we know for a fact that Donald Trump did and said, I don't have to run through that list, and say that was disqualifying. But there's a whole group of folks, as it turns out, the plurality of American voters in 2024, that said they either knew about it or they didn't know about it. And they said, honestly, that doesn't matter to me. And this, whether it's their perception of the economy, it's their perception of where they're, you know, who really truly cares about me. And I also think there's something to be said about some backlash. I'll point the finger at myself. You know, I try to be really careful about not attacking voters and say, look, I mean, if you're voting for your local Register of Deeds in Marathon County for a Republican, they are probably not, you know, a Trump supporter. I don't know if they are. But I try to be careful about not going after, quote, you know, local voters and saying, look, this is a disagreement with Donald Trump and the leadership of my former party, the Republican Party. But, you know, I think it's important that we not make our friends and neighbors the enemy. So I don't know. I'm just trying to be reflective.
Right.
And you pointed out earlier, you see this every week when you go to high school athletics. There are a lot of things that unite us instead of divide us. And I'm trying to focus a little bit more on that right now.
I w- obviously, you mentioned the fact that you had Reed Galen on yesterday. You have Trygve Olsen on all the time. You have the folks that have been involved with, whether it's the Lincoln Project or the offshoots of it. I want to kind of connect that with what we did here with Joe and Mika yesterday. Is there a fear that a lot of the folks that have been, for lack of a better term, moved off the Republican piece of land are going to be looking for a route back now that Trump won again? You're going to see Republicans that say, well, he won. So no. We have to go back.
I think I can speak for the folks at the Lincoln Project. I mean, they're not going back. They don't have any interest in appeasement to the Trump agenda. I think there is real. We've seen this. You know, we saw this little by little in some of the major legacy media organizations as it got closer to the election. I think there is real concern by some in media that this retribution thing that Trump's talked about is real, and they want access. They, at national media levels, you know this, Chad, that access to information is a key driver in what you put out, and it affects your ratings. And I think it is a real possibility that Trump could just say, no, I'm not going to have anybody in the briefing room. And he can do that. Or you know, pick your whatever legacy media outlet. So they're trying to garner goodwill, I guess, to make sure that they're not completely iced out. Again, I don't have any interest in doing that. Everything that I said prior to the election on my show, I still believe. But I'm kind of in this, I guess, I don't know. I'm at the point right now where I'm like, look, I can scream and holler and talk about it, saying I told you so. Here's it. I don't know if that really does any good. I don't know how that advances the conversation and brings more people in so that we can listen to one another. I'm kind of at the point right now where it's like, look, you know, a plurality of Americans voted for this. Mm-hmm. He won fair and square. That's fact. And now people kind of just have to find out about actions have consequences. And I hope that the things I said prior to the election, I hope a lot of it is not true. I hope I can eat crow and say, you know what? I was wrong about this guy. I don't think that'll be the case, but people kind of have to find out.
Todd, do you got a few more minutes?
Sure, of course, for you and the world.
Okay, we're going to come back with Todd Albaugh in 2 minutes here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Talking to Todd Albaugh, who you can hear later on this afternoon from noon till 2, every weekday here on WXCO and on the Civic Media Radio Network. And Thursday, I was driving back, and I gave you a ring. It was your anniversary, 2 years with the Todd Albaugh
Show.
Yes,
thank you.
That was fantastic, and it's really terrific. I mean, 2 years, hard to believe it's gone by this very quickly. I came on just before you did, so it was like 2 years. I think, holy cow, where did the time go? But I gave a call and I was on hold, and there was a caller right before me, and I thought, boy, this caller really nailed it. And I wanted to actually ask you about what this caller asked about. It was talking about the idea of center left and center right, and the idea of, you know, being somewhere in the middle in terms of that's where the people want to be. I thought he made a couple of good points where sometimes, you know, the idea of center left, center right is not the way we should be talking about it. It's the actual ideas and the policies, because I'm trying to figure out, in some ways, this last campaign, it was not, I would call, a far-left campaign by Kamala Harris and the Democrats. I mean, for goodness sakes, she was going around with Liz Cheney. that's not far-left. I don't call it far-left. And I do think that as we do move forward and talk about what the voters are looking for, what the voters are thinking about, what the voters are ultimately then voting for, I think some of the labeling, I would hope, almost goes out the window, because the idea of center left and center right, because I go back to 2012. They talked about, after that election, the autopsy on the Republican side, about reaching out to more people, going back to the middle. But in the end, they haven't gone to the middle, and yet they've been able to win a couple of elections and be very competitive generally. what should the discussion be? Should it be because I just think that sometimes the terminology gets in the way of actually what is going on, and I think we lost Todd Alba here. We lost Todd as we lost the connection here, and I hope that he does call us back. But as I gave my great run-up to the question about, again, talking about terminology and talking about center left or center or center right instead of about specific issues, about what is liberal, what is conservative. I mean, I think that we need to have, I think, a broader conversation than just try to be within a certain area or using certain terminology. And I found the caller who had kind of pushing back on the idea that we need to be sort of in this mushy center, some of these ideas that are considered more progressive or some of these ideas that are considered either more conservative, less conservative, more progressive, less conservative. Progressive. Hey, there's Todd again. But but Todd, real quickly, I was talking too much anyways in the run-up to the question. But the idea of how we talk about this, and again, instead of using terms like left wing, right wing, center left, center right, I sometimes think that we need to, I thought the caller was making a point that, hey, some of these areas, these are not far left, and yet immediately there's a thought, well, we're too far to the left or not. Right. Any thoughts on that?
I think it just comes down to talking about issues that affect people's real lives every day. I mean, you look at how Trump billed things. They were short sentences. They were short sentences that were concepts that were maybe not, you know, flushed out, but they were easy for folks to digest. I think that's number one. I think number two, that, you know, I'll give you a quick example I've used on my show. You know, some on the left, like for Latino or Hispanic people, like to use the term Latinx, which is, I have friends and family. I spent a lot of time in the Latino community. No one uses that term. It was thought up by a white person in an ivory tower on a university campus. So, I mean, quit trying to push things onto groups and communities and talk, you know, people like the way I say this, some people, but just talk normally. You know, and there's a lot of people out there that are tired of the finger wagging that, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't use the exact word or whatever. Just be chill with people and talk in everyday issues that they can understand, number one. I also don't think there's any one reason that Vice President Harris lost this election. I think it's a larger issue where there's lots of nuance to it. So I don't think you could say, oh, it was this or it was that. But yeah, I think in talking about in ways that things that matter to people on the everyday everyday level, I think that's a lot smarter, and just be chill.
Why do you think Tammy Baldwin won?
By the data that I've seen and talking to Trivia Olson and others, I think that again the ads, the television ads that were hateful and terrible, attacking the transgender community, most of which in that ad was untrue, but it was extraordinarily effective. And 5 days before the election, Tammy Baldwin put out an ad, looked right in the camera, and said, Eric Covey is lying about my record. Stop it. And told the truth. And Vice President Harris never did that. And I think that that ad, again, it wasn't just that ad, but, you know, again, people in places where, like you and I grew up, were rural parts of the state, they may have someone in their family or friend group that as a trans person, and they love them, they'll care about them, but they don't want that issue, you know, pushed down their throat all the time. And then you put the ads that are untrue that exacerbates that. And then people are living their own information silos and they don't maybe know the truth, and it all adds up. So I think Tammy Baldwin addressed that issue, told the truth, and that's probably in large part what saved her, in addition to just being a heck of a legislator and getting to places like Wausau and Eau Claire and other people and having a beer with people and finishing her beer before she leaves, and also bringing home the bacon. She's brought home a lot of transportation money, tourism money, dairy industry money to the state of Wisconsin, and people knew who she was.
Todd Alba will get more from Todd coming up from noon till 2 today, every weekday. And Todd, when you do hit the road again, we want you to come here to Wausau. That's
all right, deal. And they're going to make me take a break, I think, for a little bit here. But after the first of the year, we'll get back on the road and we'll hang out up in Wausau, a great part of the state. You and Wausau are what makes Wisconsin
there
great.
There you go. Challenge. At the very least, maybe spring, because you never know in January. I don't know if you want to be on the road. But Todd, I appreciate the time again. Really love listening to you as I sit at my desk doing work every day, but really good stuff, and thanks again.
Thank you so much.
We're going to come back. We'll be talking to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library right after our information update here on
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.